A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, what is up? It is me, Ewan, from What Culture Gaming, joined today by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
I tried to think of some Star Wars-y name versions of your names on the spot then, and it didn't come out.
We had the Hello There's covered, so what more Star Wars, references do you need?
Ogo Browno.
Ogdo Browno.
Right, let's go with it. Please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we've all been playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order over the past weekend, the past few days, and I absolutely smashed it because I had to get the review done on Monday, so I played it on Friday evening all the way through the weekend. Well, I was ridden with flu, by the way, just to prove how much of a trooper I am.
How it's supposed to be played.
Exactly. and then I obviously finished the game on Sunday evening. The review should be up by the time this goes up, so you can yell at me or not yell at me, depending on how you think that went. But we thought we'd basically come into this podcast today, given that Fallen Order has been greeted with such effusive praise from across the board, some criticism, of course, and whether or not we can label this as one of the, if not the best Star Wars game ever made. Now, that's a pretty dramatic statement, I'm going to say, but I want to open up to you guys, because obviously I have a different perspective of the game, given that I've completed it, and I'm actually kind of passionate about it enough to do the 100% thing. I'm currently going back through all the planets to try and do that. But yeah, I thought I'd ask you guys what your experience of the game has been so far compared to those Star Wars games of yore.
Well, I think I might be coming at this game from a slightly different perspective than you two, because of course it's Star Wars, okay. It's Respawn, it's a single player Star Wars game. It's something I've been looking forward to for a long time, but I didn't follow the marketing or pre-release sort of trailers all that much. I didn't really know what I was getting myself in for. All I knew was that it was a Jedi game. You know, I was going to be able to wield a lightsaber. I knew it was taking elements from sort of Dark Souls and the latest God of War, but I didn't have my expectations set high. And then that first mission started, and I was absolutely blown away. I thought that's probably one of the best opening introductory chapters in a game this year, maybe even of this generation. And there was a moment where I was looking out. I was with Cal. I had my lightsaber, just turned it on, and I was looking at the scenery, and I took a screenshot on the PlayStation 4 because I just thought, this is stunning, and it just felt right. I thought the game feel was great, and I think those introductory hours are awesome. Where I'm up to now, I do have more criticisms. I'm not sure if it's the best Star Wars game of all time, but it's certainly, in my opinion, the best Star Wars game of the current era.
Mm-hmm. I would say no, it's not the best Star Wars game of ever, just because it isn't. But
great analysis, yeah, Ben Roy.
We're off home now.
It's bad. No, it's not bad. It's actually really good. But same with you, like the opening sections, like going through and just, I feel like this game, more than any piece of Star Wars media, has blended Clone Wars era with the...
I mentioned that in my review.
Original trilogy, so I didn't even know this. But I mean, it's probably one of the best blends of those eras together, especially opening up when you're going through and the ship's being cut apart, and they're always, you see all these little bits, like, I know that, and then just like gonk, drawing in the mud, because there always is these days.
Gonk.
But but I feel like, for me, it's hard, because even though the Battlefront games aren't perceived as that good, I still really enjoyed them.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like they're more Star Wars games in a sense.
Well, that's
maybe
interesting.
The Iden Versio campaign.
I
think it's because this is trying to be is a Souls-like light. Like, it's just trying to like do it, but not fully committing. And I don't really feel like that fits Star Wars. Like, for example, Bograts, like, I expect to hit that once with a lightsaber. I think I can cut through almost anything and be dead. No, but that's two hits. But a stormtrooper is one hit. So it's like, I get how you're trying to have a level of enemy, but the Star Wars major nerd brain throws me out of it, sort of thing, and I can't handle it.
We'll get into the nitty gritty of the combat soon, but I wanted to kind of focus on the opening because I think the opening is incredible. Like you both said, I mentioned in the review that it's a perfect visual metaphor for the transition from the prequel trilogy into the original trilogy. You know, you're literally serving on a planet that is scrapping the ships of the Clone Wars, and given that, you know, in other Star Wars media set in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, tends to be set towards the tail end of that gap. You know, right before Luke Skywalker comes into the scene, right on before the rebellion comes around, you know, with Star Wars Rebels and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and even Solo to a degree. I think Solo actually might be set around a similar time as this. I can't recall.
It's definitely before Rogue One.
Yeah, absolutely. It's set 5 years after Revenge of the Sith, so it's quite early on, and I think that is a great, unique niche they've carved out within that time frame. Obviously, Disney, since acquiring the Lucasfilm, the Star Wars license and Lucasfilm in general, they've been really mining pretty much every single corner of like what Darth Vader was doing on
every
Thursday. You know, we've had all the comics from Marvel have been set in between episodes 4 and 5. We had a few, the series is getting rebooted next year, so it's going to go between 5 and 6. We've had a few stuff in between 4 and 3 as well, a lot of books. And yeah, I feel as though Fallen Order, for fans of both the original trilogy and the prequels, and especially the Clone Wars cartoon as well, because there is so many references to that in this. I kind of got really excited when I heard Dee Bradley Baker voicing the old clone trooper and James Arnold Taylor's doing Obi-Wan and stuff. And yeah, I think narratively that opening is perfect, and I would encourage you guys, obviously you're going to finish it. The final third is phenomenal as well. I think the final third might even be better than the opening. It's genuinely incredible.
In the opening, did it bug out for you at all?
No, it didn't. It didn't bug out for me, but I'm going to get to that, because I think the middle act for me, I was really enjoying my time with the game, and then it got to the middle bit. I think, you know, you go back to Kashyyyk after you've already dealt with it the first time, and the thing that got me is that I'm usually fine with Metroidvania titles. I think if you backtrack and there's a sense of narrative progression to the backtracking, I'm totally fine with that. You know, obviously they give a reason, mild spoilers here, that Saul Guerrera bugs out of Kashyyyk to basically do his own thing. But the problem is you go back and it's the same. It's the same with every planet in the game up until Dathomir. You go back and it's the exact same enemies spawning in the exact same pattern, fighting the exact same enemies with the exact same weapons. And to me, that kind of stifled any sense of narrative progression I was getting from it. It's like, well, okay, I've been to Kashyyyk the first time, but I still know that there are going to be 5 troopers here. I know there are going to be 2 troopers here, and they're going to be fighting this spider here. I know there's going to be this purge trooper at the end of the corridor. And that kind of really, it was tedious. I thought it was just like, well, if you're going to do backtracking, do it like Arkham does, where when the world's changing as you influence the story, so too do the enemies. They adapt, they do different things. And obviously the game introduces new enemy types the further you go in, but I did feel as though it lacked that sense of adaptability to make the Metroidvania and Souls-like elements work very well.
Yeah, I got this actually a bit before that, because I'm currently at Kashyyyk now again and in the new area, but when I went back to Zephyr, because you revisit all these planets, obviously, I just got so frustrated. Because when I was there the first time, I explored everything. Everything that turned green, I investigated. So I'd actually gotten to the area I was supposed to go the second time around. Obviously, I couldn't do anything in it because I wasn't equipped to actually, you know, progress through there. But I had been all around there. I had backtracked all the way through. I got lost in the caves. And when I had to come back and do that again, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, the 3D map that's involved is both great because it highlights everything you need to know, but also incredibly confusing. And although there are shortcuts between areas, they aren't like Souls where you can loop right back to the start. You have to just sort of get around on your own volition, and the game doesn't really sort of, once you've finished a mission, you have to find your way back. But like you said, Ewan, it doesn't adapt to what you've actually done, so the enemy placements are the same, so you find yourself sort of skipping them, but then you can't really skip them because they pop out the ground and they knock you off cliffs and stuff. So it was, I just got to a moment last night where, even though I loved the Metroidvania style the first time I experienced it, and it was genuinely satisfying to unlock new areas and see what's behind, you know, closed doors and uncover secrets, when I had to continue to backtrack through the same areas, it just completely killed the pacing dead for me.
For me, this kind of thing works so well in like Bloodborne. I would lapped that game up, like played it to death. But here, I just, it's something about the Star Wars set, and it's something about just going to the same areas. Oh, there's not that many options to get around people, and it's like, oh, fine, I'll try and kill them then, or stuff like, you sometimes you just want to throw these people away, but you never really get enough force to do that, and certain things like that. And it's just, it does feel like a slog after a while, and trying to just find certain things. And as you say, like when a few, you know, these guys are fighting the spider, but you can almost always know how that's going to turn out, and then when to go in and attack. And it's just, I've got been to a few areas like 3 times now, and it's getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I think it's Zephyr where you have to get back to your ship at one point, and I got lost because that map. I mean, it would be great if I had it in a physical space and I could look around it and stuff, or if the game gave me an option to put a black screen behind it so I can see, but I could barely tell where I was going at some point.
It's the highlight. The highlighting feature is annoying because I love the attention to detail. I love the fact that they've blended the map perfectly into Star Wars' aesthetic, but there is an issue where you've got the different levels, and because everything is in that light blue hue,
yeah,
even when you're looking at different things, it gets it put in a lighter blue.
Yeah.
You need to have those boundaries more clearly distinguished, I think.
And for me, it's little problems that add up to quite a frustrating experience, because that could be fine if that was the only issue, mm-hmm. but then you have to add on top of that the long ass elevator rides that just take forever to get from one place to the other, and the long load times after you die, which doesn't really encourage you to run through enemies in case you do get hit. And I think the Bloodborne Dark Souls comparison is very salient, not only in the combat but how you explore, and I love those games to death, and I actually really really quite like, maybe even love, Fallen Order, mm-hmm. but this is an example I think of how that sort of interconnected world and, you know, persistent enemies is sort of done poorly, because in Dark Souls or Bloodborne, you can run through areas you've already been through. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting hit really. If you know where you're going, you can get through quite quickly. Here, you don't have that same luxury. If you're running around, you might get shot at. You might run into a group of enemies you have to take on, or at least fight to get past them. And it's just little issues. But there are so many of them that they add up to when you do get to one of those moments where you have to backtrack, or you mm-hmm. have to go through somewhere you've already been. It's just, it's a very frustrating experience and does sort of grind everything to a halt until you're through it. And then you can finally experience a good story beat or a new yeah. area that's and worth it. But
those games you can teleport, right? So, I think you can teleport between some of the areas.
Yeah, some people have been asking for fast travel between meditation points, which that I think would be a very, very good
would
point.
Even if they gave you a few, which would have been handy. Because especially in some levels, there are so many of these Spyro/Crash Bandicoot ice slides. Like there's loads of them, or like going down and grabbing me. And they kind of pause me like, sure, but like, I don't need to keep going down this slide all the time, and I want to go back just to that point. But oh no, I've gone down the slide now. That's going to take me 10 minutes to get back to that point.
Yeah, man. Like the level design is strange because it does have this sort of shortcut system and it is interconnected. But I got to a moment yesterday when I was on Zephyr and I was sort of in like the Imperial base or whatever, and I was trying to get back out the way I came, and I thought that was, you know, the natural way I was supposed to go because the game didn't usher me down any specific route. So I just went the way I thought I was supposed to. And I got all the way back. And then there was an obstacle in my way that was slightly too high to jump and climb on that was stopping me from just getting the elevator back up.
Oh, you haven't unlocked double jump yet.
I haven't unlocked double jump
yet. Yeah, you don't unlock double jump until like the final, like the most classic video game.
I just thought that was so arbitrary and so antithetical to the promotion of like the exploration before then. Yeah. And this might sound like minute, but I don't think it is, because it really hampers your immediate enjoyment of the game.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Dark Souls leanings for a little bit, because I want to talk about the combat. And I'm actually a big fan of Fallen Order's combat for the most part. I do think that in the boss battles, it really shines through. I've not had this much fun fighting bosses in Yonks. Like, I absolutely adore going up against these enemies, and I enjoyed getting my ass kicked. That might sound like it's a bit of a kink, but in genuine honesty, I do actually enjoy actually learning from my mistakes. I quite like that. I felt as though it wasn't holding my hand, which I think is a massive problem with loads of licensed games these days, you know. And for the most part, I do think Fallen Order, even if it does err more on the side of not so much empowering the player, I do think that the balance is mostly right. I enjoy taking on troopers in the right way. I enjoy taking on groups of enemies. When I figured out that you're not meant to use the camera to lock on to individual people when you're coming up against more than two people, because that will get you killed very quickly.
Yes.
And I wish that had been more telegraphed more clearly, because I did that all the way up until like the last two levels or something.
Your movement is so hindered when you lock on to someone.
Yeah. I love that, because that's actually a classic Dark Souls problem. That is another game that tells you to lock on to enemies, but you have to work out through experimentation that, you know, locking on isn't suitable for every area. So it's interesting that, you know, they've been inspired by Dark Souls and also brought along some of those perceived issues that come along.
Massive issue for me as well is like, I can't really remember if it was the case, but I remember the dodge in some like the Dark Souls and Bloodborne being really good. But in this, what is the point of pressing circle once? It does nothing. Like, if I don't double dodge, I feel like everything's always grabbing me.
I'm panic evading all the time.
Or just about clawing me. And when you fight the enemies, like it's just the bosses, I love fighting the, like if you fight some like Second Sister or some of the Purge Troopers, or something like that. You put me against a giant frog, and it's just like one of the most like, horrible experiences of my life. That giant frog can go and do one. I hate that thing. Like at the beginning of the game, I sat there for 40 minutes trying to be. It's like, what am I doing? And I was like, no, this giant frog can go away. I got the little shiny thing that it obviously wants me to grab. Now I'm done. Go away, frog. And now you know what? Now I'm more powerful than you can possibly imagine. I'm going to go back and execute Order 66 on its ass, and then we will have a nice time.
Hey, Ben Roy.
Yes.
Get good.
Oh, mate, I can't believe how many dreams Ogdo Bogdo has crushed. Like
more than Skungus.
Like, Ogdo Bogdo isn't even, like, the worst one, to be fair. Like, he's... Yeah, I thought that in my review, I really honed in on the idea of, you know, the idea of empowering versus challenging the player. And obviously, the lightsaber is one of the biggest quandaries you can possibly have as a developer, because you have this insanely powerful weapon that can cut through anything, it can do anything in one kill. And obviously, you know, we've been going back and playing through Jedi Outcast, and that, yes. I feel as though that game, even though I do enjoy Fallen Order, I do think Outcast got the lightsaber right. I feel as though that was how it should be done, but I definitely agree that, you know, you have to challenge people in different ways, and you can't just copy what came before. Do you guys feel that came through? Did you ever feel, and I guess, you know, don't have to take the narrative context into account as well, with, you know, Cal being just a Padawan when Order 66 happens and not finishing his training, and then being on the run and having all that post-traumatic stress, which kind of severs his connection with the Force. Yeah. Did you feel as though the game justifies neutering you in some respects?
I think so. I like the progression in it, the way you sort of build up to these different Force powers, the way you get better, you know, in combat with a lightsaber. And for me, the lightsaber itself, like you said, there are so many different ways developers can sort of interpret it, because you can't just have it be this thing that cuts through anything and kills people in one hit. You have to find a way to balance it. And we've had, you know, different depictions of it throughout the gaming world. But for me, I like this one because we're doing like the sort of Dark Souls, more methodical approach to combat. And I think it lends itself well. And it sort of reminds me more of the way lightsabers are portrayed in The Force Awakens, for instance. They can, you know, hit things. They don't just slice straight through anything. There's a sense of a weight to them that I actually really appreciate.
I agree,
and I think combined with the animations in this game make combat sort of more impactful than it has been in previous games. It makes the lightsaber itself this kind of, you know, almost like a tool you need to tame. It's not just something you can pick up and start elegantly twirling around like you're in the prequel trilogy. You need to properly master it. You need to know when to attack and what ways to attack. And yeah, it might throw up some, you know, dissonance or incongruity with the way that you can slice through stormtroopers in one hit, and then, you know, you come up against a big rat and that takes about three. But for me, I don't personally mind that stuff, and if as long as it makes the combat good, I'm all for it. And I do love the combat in this game. In fact I wish there was more.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting you to be so neutered as you are at the beginning of the game and for so long. Like I know we need progression in this game, but not getting like some basic abilities that are like every Jedi has, I won't say them, but like, it's just, I felt a bit like they were trying to be deliberately slow, and I still don't have the ability to jump pretty well. And it just really like pulls me out. Like it's, I don't know. I don't feel like it was telegraphed, that one. I guess this is just me going into it, but like fighting endless amounts of scout troopers with their batons, I feel like they should have invented a new trooper that maybe has more like lightsaber resistant armor or something, because.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
For me again, like, it's just something weird about, his four more scout troopers. I feel like there should have been another tier between that and the purge trooper to really, like, sort of...
Well, they do have the commander scout trooper, who I actually found more annoying than the purge trooper on occasion.
Give him a different, like, outfit, make him, like, say, a bit the colour grey or something. Maybe there is something towards the end, but certain things that just sort of grinded me with me for a bit. And I don't mind the combat, like, the actual lightsaber combat toys, like, I think it's actually pretty good, but maybe I'd prefer like the choice between like a few stances. That's something that like Outcast, even as basic as it is, like whack, 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 you get the choice of like, say, mediums, fast and strong. Whereas like everything in this wants to cut down your force bar and wants to take away your force like meter. And I feel it is so reserved. Sure, you can get it back if you hit an enemy, but I feel like it's just so reserved. It's like, I don't want to waste strong attack.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and use push to throw someone off the edge because I can get the instant kill there rather than doing that, or rather than press triangle twice for maybe a strong attack, which almost does nothing to
certain enemies. The thing is, I was going to say, the decision to make force and stamina the same, because you have block stamina and then you have your attacking stamina and then your force is into one bar. I do agree with you. That's the one area where I felt really annoyed, because I found myself running out of force so quickly. And it was fine in boss battles because I had to gear it back up and it made it so that it was challenging. But when you're taking on different groups of enemies at one time and you know, you're leading with a heavy attack, there's a really cool double lightsaber move you get where you can do it once and you're flinging it around, it's like getting everyone, but you do kind of miss out on the other cooler abilities in the process. I was going to move on to a different thing very quickly and talk about the level of polish in the game.
Yes,
because this to me is the thing that brought this down from a 4-star game in my eyes, or an 8 out of 10, or whatever you want to call it, and really kind of took me out of the moment in a lot of places. The lack of polish in this game, given that it's been worked on for 4 or 5 years, something like that, I thought it was appalling. I don't want to be too harsh to Respawn, because I think they've made a very, very compelling game. As a Star Wars fan, I absolutely loved it. But there were just so many... This is one of the worst running games I've had on my PlayStation. The amount of texture pop-ins, the amount of times I saw assets loading in, glitches, bugs, it was really frustrating, and I'm kind of surprised that not more has been made out of it. And I think it's because people have been so desperate for a single-player Star Wars game for ages. But I think if this was any other license, if this was Ubisoft, people would be making compilation videos on YouTube and doing all sorts.
You mentioned this like when you were reviewing it yesterday, Ewan, and I hadn't got to a point where this had become a major problem. It was running fine, bar some texture popping. And then when I returned to Kashyyyk last night, everything just started going wrong. It was a point where I was supposed to get a new force power, and your guy is supposed to be suspended upside down. It had spawned me in on the ground, and I was just free to run around and I couldn't do anything, and I couldn't quit outside. I turned the game off and turned it back on again. There were a couple other hard crashes. There were stormtroopers falling through the floor, and then the long load times, and that's the killer for me, because you have this sort of system.
Bloodborne OG long load
Yes,
times,
it is.
Yeah.
It is exactly like that. Like I said, it's copied over all of Dark Souls and Bloodborne, specifically their problems. It doesn't encourage that sort of, you know, one more go mentality. You're going up against these sub-bosses that are quite difficult. They're challenging but fun, and you want to take them down. But after you've gotten beat by them five times and you've gone through those loading screens and then ran back to where you need to be, the fight is just sort of gone. And it's just, again, it's these little issues. And I feel like I'm being so down in it because I love the individual elements and I love the way they're supposed to work.
Agreed.
But then you get stuff like the long load times that throw a spanner in the works, and it just kind of makes you wonder whether it needed another, you know, 3 months polish time.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this briefly. There was no way that EA were going to count on selling a Star Wars game after Rise of Skywalker or after Christmas, which, you know, I feel for Respawn in that regard, because if they did ask for more time, they're kind of stuck in a lose-lose situation, because you miss that window. And in EA's mind, they're already taking a chance on a single-player Star Wars game as well. We already know how Project Ragtag and Orca went. They must have been thinking about this in the back of their head minds as well. So yeah, I don't know. Have you had any issues with the lack of polish, Ben Roy?
Yeah, for one point, I was meant to push something in it open, but the texture stayed there, but the object had obviously gone. So I was walking through like a ghost door. And at no point, when I was talking to the second sister at one point, she was a blurry sort of blancmange. Like she wasn't, she had a shape, but it was just like a bit drippy and a bit like, I couldn't really tell if that was maybe a really bad, like melted Darth Vader cosplay. But, and then it popped in halfway through, and I'm kind of like, it almost makes me wish the days of pre-rendered cutscenes would return, because then you wouldn't have this. It would be sort of there.
Yeah.
But it's just three or four times now I've had a character talk to me and they've not had their full texture for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it pops in. And in the ship, your two friends, they always seem really low res.
Yeah.
And you notice when you leave the ship, they stand there like Star Wars Phantom Menace, PS1, like, you must go and do this.
Yeah.
And they're just standing there. They don't do anything.
They teleport just around in front of you as well. Yeah. If you access the holotable, you literally see Seer loading right in front of you. And that lack of polish really frustrates me, because it's the simple things. And when you're on Kashyyyk as well, I think the Wookiees are like 1 week away from being a full-on meme. They look demonic.
How has this not been a meme?
Exactly.
Genuinely,
they could have borrowed Battlefront 2's Wookiees. Yeah. I was shooting them last night.
it's not even just the Wookiees. Like, just there's a second in command of Saws that's on Kashyyyk that you meet. And you look at the character model that she has, and her fingers are like PS2 quality. Like, they're all like one like blocky thing holding onto this rifle.
To be fair, he's even pretty bad.
Yeah. And it's just it's really frustrating when they've spent so much effort on obviously the main characters, Cal, Seer, Grease, all the other characters. They look fantastic, but when they haven't, you can tell when that extra level of detail just wasn't applied.
Yeah.
And that really does take you out of the moment, which again is a massive shame, because as a Star Wars fan, I love this game and the story. I'm in love with the story. I think that even though there are many criticisms that you could level at Cal, I think, you know, Respawn have really kind of really repudiated the criticisms that he'd just be another generic Jedi with a blue lightsaber in between episodes 3 and 4. I think they've done something very unique in terms of, you know, analyzing a Jedi's journey through the prism of Revenge of the Sith.
I will say one other thing about it, not necessarily jank, but when you kill some of the enemies, obviously they stay there and they have collision on you, which is like I wasn't expecting. And I killed one of the larger enemies and it died in front of somewhere where I had to go, and because I can't jump for hell yet, I had to sort of like jimmy it off, like just because it was in the way. It's like, well, I can't jump. I just can't jump this unless I push you off someone, like sort of trying to clip it off the edge.
There was a wave level that I had where there was a character that I was like a push into it, and I force pushed them into some lava below, and then they just fell onto the floor, and I was like, oh god, this is it. I've got to fight everyone again. And then luckily, even though they glitched through the floor again, their head was there, and I managed to force push them and then unlock the next tier of enemies. But it was
also, can I say, screw enemies that are just stood around the corner. Classic Souls. Like, by the way, I'm around the corner, lol, you're dead.
You put your guard up as you're going around. That's what you can do.
I know it. This is like nitpicky complaint, but
be cautious, Benroy. Don't go.
You don't have full sense.
A Jedi doesn't rush into danger, Benroy.
I have one final sort of glitchy complaint before I can start gushing about the game probably. But it's when you're running from area to area in a world, and this only really affects me when I have HDR on, which is a shame because I have to turn it off and it looks lush and I'm really sad. But when you are moving from area to area, even though there isn't like a load screen, sometimes it just brings you to a halt, and then you do get a load screen, and then you have to load the next part, which again isn't conducive to these backtracking through area segments mm-hmm. where you're supposed to be rushing past and trying to get where you need to be. But then not only is the level design making it too long, you're also hitting loading screens, and then it's just, why isn't this more seamlessly connected? Yeah. And Respawn, I'm so sorry, your game is really good. Well, it's just these tiny issues.
We'll get to that now, because you know we're nearly out of time, but I do think I want to reiterate that I genuinely had a great time playing Star Jedi Fallen Order. I think it's a shame that some of its flaws, the little things, do add up to bring it down a little bit, but at the end of the day, as a Star Wars fan, I had a great time and I loved so much about it. I think the story is incredible. You guys are honestly not ready for how great that final act is.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought that the Jedi customization, I thought the customization of Cal and the Stinger Mantis in particular were a bit, lackluster. I mentioned in my review that I thought they could have done so much more with the Mantis in terms of making it almost like a Red Dead 2 camp where you could have been performing busy work on the ship, doing maintenance, doing whatever, because you've already got the terrarium, you already know Grease is cooking, just do some more stuff with that, would have been dead easy. But the lightsaber customization is honestly a dream come true. I mean, I'm sure as we all probably not going to get to go to Galaxy's Edge anytime soon, having the option to create your own weapon, even though I think it's thematically at odds with a later moment in the story, which I won't spoil for you guys, I do think that actually having the ability to do that is really, really cool. I love the different things that you can do with that. I just, in my own little nerd way, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd not touched it now.
It almost does feel a bit like kind of pointless, because like there's kind of no reason apart from personal preference. Mm-hmm. Like if you had a one-on-one dueling mode in this where you could like, we could fight each other, that would be like a reason for that to be in there.
Personal preference is all I need, Benroy. I was telling you before, but I wasn't actually going to get this game at launch. I was going to wait until Rise of Skywalker came out and have a proper Star Wars binge.
Oh, I love Christmas.
I know, Christmas time, Star Wars time, perfect. Mm-hmm. But then Ewan put on Twitter, I think it was...
But the orange lightsaber getting made. Blade.
Flicking through the different options for your lightsaber and then, you know, pulling it out, and turning it on. And I just thought, that's awesome. I need that in my life. I need to create my own lightsaber. I need to toggle between, you know, green and blue.
Do you want some Hazium Smelt in your saber? Do you want some Dudium?
Very important question. What color lightsaber are you guys going with?
I did an orange one, and then the other color I went with, I can't say because it's a spoiler.
Don't restrict yourself to one lightsaber is what I say. You know, choose whatever feels good in the moment. If you're on, for instance, a jungle planet, for me it's green all the way. An icy planet, blue. You don't need the contrast.
I love that. I had a bit of orange for a while, but Qui-Gon green. My life. Qui-Gon green.
Yeah.
I think my biggest sort of, you know, pro for this game is not only that it looks lush and the combat is awesome, and, you know, I really do feel like a Jedi when I'm pushing one stormtrooper off a ledge and then deflecting so nonchalantly a blaster back to the final one. But we've talked about it at the beginning, but the routing in this sort of time frame, we've had a lot of games, and I'm a big Star Wars doc, but I'm not like you guys who spend a lot of time
big nerds,
in the expanded universe. So this time period between episode 3 and 4, it's just sort of kind of been to me a no man's land where things get sort of pushed, the games get sort of like pushed in that time frame. It doesn't really have a proper grounding. For the first time in a long time, I've really felt like this space really matters, and really, you know, there's stories worth telling there, and that it's a great place where I want to spend time, and it grounds it so well in the story itself. Even the beats that are so obviously going to happen are executed so well that I don't care that they're so predictable. Like, they are so interesting thematically and emotionally, and so well delivered by a strong script and strong performances, that I'm here for the ride and I'm having a good time and I want to see where it goes.
And I just want to say that, like, I echo the same thing that, like, I thought that this was maybe going to be a bit of a drab story, but it wasn't. I'm really enjoying it so far. Cal is not just like generic man 7 that I thought he might be. I'm actually really enjoying his character arc and progression, like find out more about his past.
His relationship with BD.
Yes.
And even BD's, I feel like BD's more endearing than some of the other droids we've had, like, especially that hairdryer thing that I can see in Rise of Skywalker. But it's fleshing out the Star Wars universe in a way that I wasn't expecting. Mm. And it's weird because Star Wars has done, again, we've now got a new genre of Star Wars game. Like, we've had like every type of game you can think of, Yoda stories. We've just had a different type of Star Wars game, and this is doing it well. The things that I'm saying are just like nibbles and gribbles that I feel like things that, it's because I love Star Wars and I need this to be good, and it is good, but I feel like you've always got to criticize things even though they're good. And I think this is well worth purchasing. Like, I think it feels like we've been ragging on it for a bit, but no, this is probably in the top 10 Star Wars games of all time, but think, probably not the best.
I think I've always struggled to name my favorite Star Wars games. Sometimes it's Jedi Outcast, sometimes it's Academy.
They're all different.
Sometimes
right.
it's Republic Commando, sometimes it's Star Wars Battlefront 2, the original one. I have so many, even though the new one's really good. Mm. I always struggle. I think that's because I love so much of Star Wars, and actually choosing a favorite is very difficult, because I could say Fallen Order is my favorite because I've loved it so much. I think its positives outweigh the negatives by far. I will say, though, this is a question I have, because I don't know how long EA have controlled the license for. And obviously, me and Scott went down in London, we learned that this game has been in production before EA acquired Respawn. I am curious to see, would you guys like to see a sequel to this game? Because we know we've got another Star Wars game coming in, I think, in 2021, 2022. Yeah. And we know Battlefront 3 is probably going to be a thing eventually, along with another hopeful single-player title, if EA can find it in their hearts to do that. Do you want to see another Fallen Order, or would you like to see something like an open world Star Wars game in the vein of the cancelled Project Orca, or the kind of Project Ragtag Amy Hennig Uncharted-esque thing? Because I know Fallen Order kind of gets the Uncharted itch a little bit. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see if this game is so positively reviewed, do you want to see another follow-up, or would you rather the IP branched out in a different direction?
Because
I'm torn.
I kind of want both.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely want a sequel, because when this is firing on all cylinders, it is my favorite Star Wars game. Like, there's, to me, it's everything I want from a Star Wars, specifically a Star Wars Jedi game. It's just those small issues that bring it down. I think Respawn have such a solid base here. Like, the game feel in particular, just moving around this world, to me, feels awesome. And if you've nailed that, if you've nailed the setting, if you've nailed even the characters, if you can build on that and sort out these issues we've been talking about and then build on the great stuff you've already got there, then you might make the best Star Wars game. I would also like, you know, the brand in general to diversify as well, though. It's cool that we've got these Battlefront games and now this, but EA has had the license for a long time.
2013, baby.
We haven't seen, you know, that many Star Wars games, that many new Star Wars games. Because, I mean, even this, it's
the
indebted.
The third AAA Star Wars game that EA
exactly.
published.
Exactly. This is indebted to the Star Wars games that have come before. In Battlefront is obviously a reboot of a beloved series. We haven't seen a new take on this series in a video game form, which is kind of weird. But if you've got Battlefront, if you've got Fallen Order, I'd love them to continue, and I'd love something new to go alongside it. Maybe something open world, maybe something bounty hunter based. I don't know. Give me the Mandalorian game.
Ooh. I'm hesitant to say open world, because so many open worlds recently, like especially Falling Over in Death Stranding. I think I would want this again, but maybe Jedi Fallen looser. Bit looser, not so tight with some things, or maybe sort out some of the animals a bit.
That's not the opposite of Order, Ben Roy.
I know.
it's like, you know, Fallen Order, but a bit to the side, maybe. A bit like this.
Fallen Chaos. Fallen Disorder.
Yeah. Hey. Just change a bit. No, but I probably would say that wide linear or segmented open world spots. I'd say, like, let's have a wander around Tatooine for no reason. Let's see what's going on there. But yeah, something like this again, but maybe just a bit more polish. Obviously, we got Rise of Skywalker coming out. Yeah. They had to get out before then.
I really like that idea. I just want to see a reboot of like Rogue Squadron or TIE Fighter or something. Give me a properly good
Phantom
Star
Menace
Wars.
Game. Phantom yeah. Menace game.
Phantom Menace game. This you can walk around Tatooine on that.
You can. You get chopped to bits by a fan, which you do in Fallen Order as well.
What about Jedi Power Battles before? Power?
Hell yes, Benroy.
Bring back.
Take it back. Power Battles is the best Star Wars game.
Plo Koon.
And on
Orange
that
lightsaber.
Note, and on that note, I want to know what you all think of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order down in the comments below. Is it your favorite Star Wars game, or weren't you a fan? And once you've done that, please be sure to head back on over to whatculture.com after you've liked, shared, and subscribed the video. Duh, that kind of goes without saying as well. You can follow Josh Brown on Twitter at
Josh Broom with two O's.
You can follow Ben Roy on Twitter at
Ben Roy Turner.
You can follow me on Twitter at YouRuinsThings. I hope you have a great day. And yeah, may the Force be with you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Play Star Wars Demolition on PS1.
Power Battles.
Bombad Racing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.